This is Heather Dubrow's World, and you can live in it for 1 hour every week right here on Podcast One. Oh, tomorrow's the day.
The dreadful day.
Tomorrow's the surgery day. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Have you ever had a wisdom tooth pulled?
I had all four pulled at the same time.
How old were you?
It was just 2 years ago.
You did?
They're all impacted and yeah.
And?
It wasn't bad at all.
Really?
I was lucky, I guess. But yeah, they pulled all four of them. I was fine.
No big deal. Okay. So
you'll be fine.
Yikes.
All right. That sounds better. And Natalie, hi.
Hi. No, I've never had any.
Pulled?
I've never had it. Mine haven't come out.
Well, they don't usually come out.
I thought some do, though.
No. What happens is, I mean, my recollection is that if you don't have a problem, you don't do anything. That's when I was growing up. But apparently since then, it's changed. And a lot of people in high school just get all four yanked.
So you're saying I have to get mine pulled too?
What I would do is I would check them out. Because here's the thing. I go to the, you know, I'm obsessed with teeth. I brush, I floss, and I have been.
Did you wear braces?
Oh, for 4 months, I think.
So your teeth are just naturally.
They're straight.
Straight.
Yeah. I had one, my front tooth was a little, they didn't cross, but it was a little forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I knew I wanted to work in television. And so I had braces, like four pathetic little brackets. And I think it was like 4 6 months. Yeah. And then that was it. And then I wore a retainer. And that was the end of that. But I, unfortunately, I thought I had sensitive teeth because I had to have all these root canals done in the back. And then when I finally got to this great dentist, I go to, you know, Dr. Murashi here in Beverly Hills, and he, I said, oh, my teeth are so sensitive. And he said, no, you've been the product of bad dentistry.
Oh, no.
And it's true because I had a really bad dentist down in Orange County. So, he fixed my bite, he fixed my problems in the back, and I've been great. But I never, I guess no one ever did a panoramic x-ray to look at the wisdom teeth.
Right.
And I had one pulled out 20 years ago or something. And I've never had a problem. And so I felt something up there. And now here we are. So tomorrow's the day. And just to recap, they're going to take out the two top ones because they're impacted and they have cysts around them. And then the bottom one, which is the problem one, he's not going to pull out because he doesn't want to break my jaw because there's barely any left. And he doesn't want me to have permanent nerve damage. So he's going to drain the cyst and see what happens. And if that doesn't work in a few months, then he's going to pull that back molar and hope that the wisdom tooth floats away from the nerve. And if that doesn't work, we're going to have a long talk. So apparently I'm going to be very bruised, very – Ray, were you really bruised and swollen? Was it like you got punched in the face?
No, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think I made it out to be worse in my head, and then reality, it wasn't as bad.
See, I think I'm going the other direction with it. Everyone's telling me how terrible it's going to be, and I'm thinking I'm pretty tough. You know, I have a C-section. I'm kind of up that day walking around ready to leave the hospital.
I mean, the worst thing is just because you have those pockets then, it's just, you know, having to wash out, you know, your...
Irrigate, those,
yeah. That's the worst thing to me.
Mm. Yeah, you have to irrigate. So, okay.
Do you bruise easily?
I do.
Oh, you do? So you
yes.
may be a bruiser. Yeah.
So you think my whole face is going to be bruised? Oh, everyone will now... Watch, everyone will think I had a facelift.
Right.
Like, oh, did you see Heather Dubrow?
Yeah.
She's all bruised and swollen. Well, oh yes, yeah, she had her... Wink, wink. Wisdom teeth pulled. Mm-hmm. You know that's going to happen. By the way, who's taking care of me?
I'll be there.
You're leaving.
Carrie will be there.
You're going to Puerto Vallarta.
That's 2 days later.
You're going to 2 days?
Yes, I'll
this
be there.
This is like an 8-day recovery.
No, it's the first and second day, which are going to be
the
worst.
Doctor
and I'll
said the third and fourth are the worst days. You're not going to be there. Who takes care of me? By the way, and who takes care of mom when she's sick? Because, you know, usually I'm not allowed to be sick.
I think I'll get Coco to take
care. Oh, yeah, right. She'll push me out on an ice float. I'm not allowed to be sick. I'm not allowed to be tired. I'm not allowed to be not in the mood. I'm mom.
I know.
Gotta
super
be,
mom.
Oh, you got to be there.
And your mom's not here. Yeah, you don't really have, like, you know, someone to be there.
Yeah, well, Terry's going to be home.
He'll be on his phone like, huh, honey, what did you say?
No, he won't. He'll be at work.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
He'll text
me. In the middle of the night.
How's it going? No, you know what'll happen? He'll text me, how's it going? I'll say, would you mind picking me up? And he'll go, don't you have people for that? That's what he'll say. But you know what? Listen, he's an amazing doctor with unbelievable bedside manner, unless it comes to us. He's not like that at home.
Oh, gosh.
But you know what the good news is? I mean, he's not going to take care of me like that, but he will be able to spend time with the kids. So I'm glad he's at least going to be home.
Good. Yeah.
So that they don't feel like there's no parent around.
I mean, after you had your kids, though, was he there? Like, if you needed something, or was he very attentive? He wasn't?
I told you. I had my kids. I was up. I was good.
Stop.
Back in action.
No way.
Oh, yeah. But I have help. I mean, let's not, you know, listen. We have a deal, you know. He works his butt off and provides me with the help I need so he doesn't have to do that kind of custodial thing.
But I mean, like, in the middle of the night, like, honey, I need you to go and get me something.
When would that ever happen?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't do that?
No.
No.
Not really.
Like, don't worry about me. I'll get up.
No, I got it. I'm good. He'd probably go, do you know what time I have to get up tomorrow?
Exactly. That's.
Do you know I have to get up at 4:10? What do you need? Bleeding.
Your whole bedside is just covered in blood.
It's not cancer, Heather. It's wisdom. It's wisdom teeth.
Can you please don't get blood on my side of the bed?
I have to rest.
Yeah. So
so true. You know, I don't know what's really sad, though. So I'm getting these wisdom teeth pulled. He's going to drain these three cysts. You know, there's general anesthesia involved. And is it sick that I'm kind of looking forward to the recovery a little bit?
Why?
Well, I mean, think about it. I get a day lying in a chair at the doctor's office with Percocet, Valium. I get a ride home. And I get to lie around for 3 days. This is like a spa weekend.
You always talk about it. Don't you always joke?
I joke about root canals being spa days. This is spa weekend. This is like a retreat.
You brought it in your universe. You say it all the time.
Clearly needed a rest. That's so funny. Meanwhile, so the good thing is, you know, I am going to be home. And so even though, you know, it doesn't sound like it's going to be that terrible. It's not like I'm going to be out running marathons, you know, for a week, so, or ever. But I mean, going to the gym, whatever. So I will be home more, which is good because we're actually getting closer to moving. And, you know, I've been talking about this a little bit, but I'm in total purging mode.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I know. So Natalie and I went through. It's so funny. So I said, you know, take a pass with the housekeeper, you know, take a pass at the kitchen and, you know, try to get rid of what's in there. And you guys said to me, oh, we did a good job. And I'm like, I'm sure you did a great job. And I went through and I went, okay, and this and this and this and this.
Well, it's hard because you don't know what's sentimental to somebody. You don't know if someone gave you something. So for us, it could
absolutely be
like, you know, that's
hideous.
You know, hideous, right? And then you're like, oh, but my so-and-so gave it to me. So it's like, okay.
Exactly. Right. But it was very helpful. And I love purging. And I had so many random glasses. Why is that? Someone buys you two glasses?
What do you recommend with something like that? Do you not, what do you think about gifting somebody like personalized glasses and things that, I mean.
I mean, honestly, even though I do enjoy a monogram now and again, I think it's a dicey thing to give someone someone something that's personalized because it means basically they have to keep it.
Right.
They have to keep it forever. And then what do? For example, we had someone give us a mug. Mm-hmm. With all the kids' pictures on it. This is now, I've had it for 5 years, this mug. No one uses the mug.
Right.
What do I do with the mug? I can't give it away because then someone has a mug with all my kids' pictures on it, like to Goodwill.
Right.
And what am I going to do? Break it so that no one has it? What a waste. So it just sits in the cabinet, or then you have to wrap it and stick it in a bin. And that's really just putting off the inevitable anyway.
Exactly.
What did we do with that mug?
We wrapped it and put it in a bin. And I'm sure I'll find it there in a year and I'll ask you the same question and it'll just live there.
I'm telling you, it's like my frozen embryos. They're just there and I pay for them and I don't think about it except every year when I pay the bill. There's the mug.
It'll stay there.
It's going to stay there. I don't know. I got Tiffany china as gifts for the kids when they were babies and I used it.
Mm-hmm.
We used those bowls. Those were nice gifts.
Yeah.
But I wrapped them up and I kept them because I thought that's a cool thing. So you have this china when you're a baby and you used it. Now, I don't like giving those baby gifts that no one uses.
Right.
a silver spoon. I used to give that as gifts. And then when I had kids, I realized it's a terrible gift. I don't like the taste of metal, like sterling in my mouth. Oh. So I don't know why a kid would want that. I guess they thought it was cold.
Right.
So if you're teething.
Right.
I don't know. A personalized spoon is something you pass on, but no one uses. I like the idea of this beautiful Tiffany china, and each set is different, to give to my kids that when they have kids, they can use with their kids.
Yeah, I love that.
Not That's to put on a shelf, but to actually use.
Yeah, I love that.
I thought that was cool. But I loved going through the kitchen. Then we went through the garage and pulled out all the bins.
Oh, yeah. And there's many, many bins.
There's lots of bins. I love bins. I love organized garages.
Me too.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I like organized everything.
I know, me too. That's why we get along so well. Oh, my God. But Natalie has taken my organization to a whole new level. And I'm going to tell you because. So in our new house, we have a refrigerator and a freezer, a big full-size one in the kitchen. And there's another refrigerator in the pantry. So I decided that in the refrigerator in the kitchen should be just food that's ready to eat.
Right.
Not like a whole tomato. Put that in the other refrigerator. Just stuff that's ready to eat, like a beautiful Martha Stewart-looking kitchen. I know this is completely probably not viable and no one's going to keep it up, but I just have this fantasy of this beautiful refrigerator that has no plastic bottle in it.
Yep.
I don't even want to see the Heinz ketchup bottle, so I'm trying it.
Yeah.
Because you made me crazy about this the other day.
I know. I take everything out of their packages and I make it beautiful.
Can you take a picture of it?
I don't live with anybody, so no one touches it. Like my waters are all, the labels are all, you know, looking at me and like, I don't even want to take the water. I want to like have another area.
How are you ever going to get married?
I don't know. Hence why I'm still single. That's my problem. Oh, God. No, but it looks so pretty.
Oh, so do you put labels on them?
I don't because I know. But, I mean, if you have kids, you're going to have to, you know, do that. But everything's clear so you can see. I mean, like, I have, like, my orange juice and, like, the beautiful little, you know, container and
– What kind of container? Do you put it in an open pitcher? What do you put it in?
No, it's, like, the little jars where you can kind of, like – seal shut them. So
is it a spigot? How do you get it out?
Yeah. Like
there's a spigot in the front?
Yeah.
So, I want that.
Yeah, it's very,
so you bring home the Heinz 57 ketchup.
Yep.
And you squish the whole thing.
Everything.
Into the jar. And then what do you do with the Heinz bottle?
Get rid of it.
You throw it. What if it's not empty?
There's extra. I try to get like the smallest. Like the small milk, the small orange juice. That way it all fits. But for you, because you guys go through like three things of milk, we can just do the big ones, but we'll just do multiple jars and we'll just kind of line them up that way, all the milk.
Yeah, and then the containers can be
in
the
extra.
It's
not going to go bad because you guys always drink it anyways. The kids do.
I love that.
Yeah.
The question is, will everyone follow it?
Yeah.
That's the question because – Because if they don't, then, you know.
Because the kids aren't putting away anything. It's more like Jackie that would need to put everything away.
I love it. I just love a beautiful refrigerator. It's this fantasy. Isn't that crazy? That's what I fantasize about.
Like Yolanda Foster's is insane.
Someone made
beautiful.
A Twitter account for her refrigerator.
Stop.
Yes. That's it's called Yolanda's refrigerator.
Stop. It's the most beautiful thing ever. I mean, but you can't – it's really not functional.
Okay. So when we lived in Bel Air, I remember this. So I had this girlfriend that lived down the street named Brown, and she has a beautiful house. And in her kitchen, she had three refrigerators. Mm-hmm. Maybe one was a freezer. But the one in the middle had clear glass, mm-hmm. and it was all the cutest – little soda bottles, old-fashioned. So it was Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite. Da, 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 da. So cute.
It is cute. And then the other ones would be for everything else.
And yeah, would be for, but she had one of those. She had a Yolanda refrigerator. Yolanda set a new standard for refrigerators because Martha Stewart's refrigerator was always a little shabby chic. So you'd open the refrigerator and there's a bowl with a beautiful napkin in it, right. and then the lemons are inside right. the bowl. It was all very beautifully done, but I want everything sealed shut tight.
Yeah.
I like it a little modern.
Yeah, me too. That's what I have. Yeah.
Okay, so that brings me to my next question, and I'm going to throw it out there, and I want people's suggestions. So I want to hear what you think because I have a little conundrum here. So in our basement, people here in California call them subterraneans. I still call it a basement. down there, there's a playroom area for the kids, and I have two little pieces of wall. And on one of them, I have one of those old-fashioned popcorn machines, mm-hmm. which is so fun. We love the popcorn machine. Yes, you have to buy the popcorn with that orange stuff, and you squish it in. It's probably got 7,000 grams of fat, but it's so yummy. So good. All right, so I have this other piece of wall. It's not a huge piece of wall. It's like, I don't know, maybe 3 feet wide, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 feet wide, and it's about a foot deep, mm-hmm. okay? And so I have this piece of wall, and I had this fantasy of doing a wall of candy. Picture a modern baker's rack with jars with penny candy.
Love that.
But here's the problem. I don't want the kids to eat the candy. And if I have candy there all the time, they're going to take the candy. Or if it's a jar full of, let's say, gummy worms or something, you know, they get coagulated and mm-hmm. gross and old. So I guess it's a two-pronged question. Number one, what can I do in that candy section that'll look great but won't get old? And then what can I do so that they're not eating it?
Well, it's quite cruel to put a candy station and then not be able to eat it.
Oh, well, I want them to be able to eat it. The problem is they'll want to eat it all the time. That's the problem. So I one of the things I was thinking about is they have those jars that have – it almost looks like a false front. Mm-hmm. So you put candy in there that's sealed in the jar that people don't eat but shows you what's in the jar.
Yeah.
And that way it's beautiful, but you only fill them when you're having a party.
Yeah. I like that. That's good. I never knew that.
So that – I mean, I saw it on Pinterest. Oh. Something. I mean, I saw a jar like that on Pinterest. Yeah. I went on Pinterest for the first time today.
Isn't it insane?
I don't really understand it. What? I understand it's a virtual pin board, but I don't understand how to use it. So I just typed it candy in search and looked at some pictures. You may have to show me that later.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm old-fashioned. I like an actual pin board. I have bulletin boards. I have one in my pantry. I love a bulletin board. I like to stick something on there.
Yeah, but you got to keep up with the –
whatever. I like a bulletin board. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, so if you have any suggestions for my candy wall, I would love to hear that.
But it's only candy?
No, I don't know. You know, I also was at – there's this really cute candy store at Irvine Spectrum. I can't remember the name of it. Rocket Fizz, maybe?
Something like that.
Something like that. And they had a wall of the cutest sodas, all different kinds from all over the world sodas. Yeah. And I thought, well, that would be cool too, to do a wall of cute sodas. But again, that would be more of a piece of art than something you could use.
Right.
Which seems silly to me.
Because it's in the kids' area, right?
Well, it's in the hallway there. It is decoration, but I don't know. I'm kind of like throwing around ideas. But I am enjoying my purging. I'm enjoying thinking about purging. I'm enjoying organizing. Look, I'm getting so excited. Yeah. I can't even speak. It's so funny. My kids are so used to moving.
It's great because you guys move a lot. But
did you move a lot as a kid?
I did. And I hated it.
Really?
Oh, I hate it because I was changing schools.
Oh.
And I was, you know, having to make new friends all the time.
So that's a hard. Different thing. I mean, I think when you move, we haven't had to switch schools. Mm-hmm. We basically move in the same area. Well, when we moved from LA to Orange County, but they weren't in school yet, so that didn't count. But basically, we stay in the same school system. Switching schools is very difficult for kids, but there's definitely things that you can do to make an easier transition, little things. You take them to school early.
Right.
Especially with your older kids, because with Max, I mean, she didn't change schools this year, but this year in sixth grade, they got lockers with combinations.
Right, which is a big step for them.
Locker's a big deal, and they were so excited about it. And if you go on my Instagram at Heather Dubrow, you could see how we decorated her locker. We put a chandelier in there, and we put wallpaper and a rug. By the way, it's probably all gone now, halfway through the year. But she loved it. But what I did was I took her to school at the first day they said the school was open, mm-hmm. and I went with her, and we tried out the locker, and we stood there for 30 minutes, and she just did it over and over and over again.
Smart.
And then I took her back 2 days later.
That's smart.
And we did the same thing. So I think we went at least three times before school started because opening a locker is difficult. You have to remember your combination. You have to turn it. Some of them are kind of funky mm-hmm. and you have to push a certain way. And when you're there on the first day of school and you're nervous and you don't know your schedule yet and you don't know where you're going, you don't know what books you need and you're trying to figure out what I put in the locker, what do I carry around with me, you know, it's anxiety producing.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most difficult part is, do I have enough time to run to my locker after first period, second period, whatever it is? So for them, it's a whole new ballgame.
It's a whole new thing. So when you're switching schools, districts, I think that's a really good idea. The other thing I think is a good idea is to call the school and try to find them a friend. When Max and Nikki went to camp last summer, sleepaway camp for 2 weeks for the first time, Nikki was going with a bunch of friends and Max didn't know anyone. Mm-hmm. So I called the camp and I said, listen, you know, this is how old my daughter is. This is where we live. This is what she's into. Do you have any campers in our area that I could make a play date with? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. Because that way, if you, you know, introduce them to one person, at least they don't feel completely alone.
Yeah, I love that. My mom would never do that.
Our school, well, because I know I would be right. nervous. So I
don't
try
think people think about it, though. I think that's the thing. You wouldn't think to just call the school and try to set something up. You know what I mean?
So no, I think it's a great idea. You call the guidance counselors. Smart. Yeah. No, no. It's always good to have a friend.
Yeah. And that helped her out, right?
Oh, hugely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great idea. So go try out your locker. Call the school. Call the guidance counselors. Try to get them a buddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and join clubs quickly.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Because even if they don't end up being your best friends for life, just to have someone in the beginning of school to go to the lunchroom with, to talk to.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah, it's good to encourage them to do that. Because even if, like, I was a shy kid, so I wouldn't, you know, be open to doing stuff like that. I'd have to kind of get pushed into it. You know, joining a club or... You know,
right. That's why a play date or hooking someone up. Our school, one of my kids' schools has an ambassador system, mm-hmm. which I think is terrific. And if you want to recommend this for your kids' schools, I love this program. So they hook up existing families with families that are entering the school for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
So you become their ambassador.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's nice because if the parents have questions, they can call you. It's not a huge commitment. It's not like, yeah. you know, you have to vacation with these people. But you could talk to them on the phone. They can ask you questions. You introduce the children. So again, the new kid has, you know,
like a mentor.
A friendly yeah. face to eat lunch with on the first couple of days. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice thing to do. I like that. The ambassador. But my kids, we move basically, not intentionally, but apparently we move every 3 years.
Yeah. And then the last 2 years, or the last 3 years, it was a few times too because of the...
Well, the last move, when we moved out of our house, we had to move twice because the rental we wanted wasn't available. And it was so hard to find a rental last time. There was no houses on the rental market. It was crazy. Insane. So we had to move twice to an interim house for 5 months. Oh my God, it was so insane. And the guy that owned the house, do you remember?
Oh,
he was renting it furnished because I didn't want to move furniture twice in 7 months.
Right.
So we rented it furnished. We just brought, I think, Coco's crib and something else, mm-hmm. nothing. And all of the guy's clothes were in the closet and he didn't want us to move his clothes. He wanted us to move in yeah. and not put the clothes in the closet.
It was a nightmare.
I'm telling you, I am not moving into this new house until the candles are lit.
Yeah.
I cannot do that again. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
But I think they're really excited about the new house. I mean, Nikki has mixed emotions because he's got such great friends. I mean, where we live now is an incredible, you know, gated community, beach community where they have so much freedom and it's very safe and there's lots of great kids in the neighborhood and they have the best time. And where we're moving, you know, our street, the houses haven't even been finished being built.
Do you know your neighbors?
I met the neighbor on one side. They just bought that house mm-hmm. that the Hamiltons used to live in. And
no kids?
They have a lot of kids. I don't think they all live there. I think some of them are grown. I think they have a few kids at home. And then our neighbors on the other side who are probably a third of the way done building their house, I think they have girls.
Oh, good.
That's so good. Eventually, it'll be great. But I think that they're excited about, you know, their rooms yeah. and – which is so funny because they'll have their own rooms again. But they sleep together every night.
That's the funny part. Yeah.
We could live in a two-bedroom apartment.
I know.
All four of them in one room, me and Terry in the other. Yeah. We'd be fine as long as we had enough bathrooms.
Right.
They care more about the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Isn't that so funny? So I think that they're going to be excited about all the little special touches I did in their rooms and stuff. I had such a fun idea the other day. Coco, you know, is so into Legos.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking up Lego tables mm-hmm. because every time we build Legos, we're on the floor, we're on a table,
yeah.
they fall over.
Right.
And I thought a Lego table is good because it's got a base of Legos on it. So you build off the table.
Right.
But when you look them up online, they're all primary colors.
Hideous.
Well, if you're into primary colors, not hideous, but that's not my color scheme in the house. And I thought it would be fun to put one down in the basement, in the playroom, and one in her room, which is very pink.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, she requested pink and silver and gold in her room. So we've done our best to make that look acceptable. And what I decided was I bought these very pretty plain tables, a white one with two chairs, and I bought sort of like a coffee-colored one for the basement with two chairs. And we're going to be in Minnesota, and they have the hugest Lego store in Minnesota because I want to get the exact right color pink.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to...
So what I'm going to do is on the white table, I'm going to glue pink Legos all on the top of this beautiful little white. I think the table was from Pottery Barn. It wasn't very expensive. They had one at IKEA, too, that was really cute. That was like $49 or something. And I'm going to glue pink Legos on the top of this white little table for her bedroom. And then I got this coffee wood colored one for downstairs. I'm going to put black Legos.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing ever.
Is that so cute?
Oh.
Do you think she'll love that?
She's going to die. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. The only thing I'm nervous about is moving, packing and moving the whole house. Because if anyone knows how I pack with my tissue paper and my...
The whole house or your closet specifically?
I mean, I think I understand how to pack my closet, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to organizing my closet and being able to see everything again because I'm telling you, everything's so squished that I can't see anything. And that started me thinking about what you do when you don't have a lot of space. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share with everyone about what I've done in the past and what I think is a really good idea. What I do now is I have a book. So if you've ever heard me talk about the kids' artwork and their trophies that I take pictures of them and we basically make like Shutterfly books out of them, I do the same thing with my clothes. So if I have an outfit that I particularly liked or a piece that I've bought, I take a picture of it and it's on my computer. And then every once in a while, I make a book of my clothes, of pieces that I have so that I can flip through and see what I have.
My book would be very small.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. Even when – don't you have like a number of black shirts?
Yes.
That all sort of look the same, but they're different because they have different colors. Just even Polaroids or anything that shows you what you have, especially if you can't see it. I'm not talking about that sort of thing, more like shoes. If you don't have a lot of space and you keep everything in shoe boxes and you have all shoe boxes stacked, you don't know what's in there. But if you take Polaroids and you put them on the outside of the shoe boxes, it's such a good way to know what's in the box or scarves or things because I find that I'll put things away and I forget about them.
Right. If you don't see it, you'll never wear it.
Exactly. Yeah. And most of us don't have an enormous closet. And so that's such a good way. But I love making the books. Or even just on my computer, I have a mailbox, you know, on my side grid thing that says clothing.
Oh.
So I'll take a picture on my phone if I buy something or if I've worn an outfit that I like and I want to remember how I put it together or when I pack. Actually, Samara Nayabedian, my stylist, is going to be on the show today. We could talk more about this with her. But when I have an event or when I'm packing to go somewhere, we lay out all my outfits with all the accessories and all the shoes and we take a picture. And then that's on my computer. You know, it's on my phone. I upload it to the computer and I put it in my little file of clothing looks. So if I think, I'm going to go to dinner with so-and-so, I can look through and go, oh, I don't know what to wear.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good outfit.
Love that.
They also have these really great apps on your phone for your wardrobe. Okay, you know what? Here's my beauty tip of the week. It's the clothing apps. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was going to be something else, but I'll do that another week. It's the clothing apps. They have these wardrobe apps that are incredible. And what you do is you go on there, you take a picture of the outfit, and then you put the details in. What's the event? You know, Marsha's wedding. It was June 15th, you know, 2014. This is what I wore. This is who was there. Because that way, when you get invited to Marsha's sister's wedding next year, you don't want to wear the same thing and be in the same outfit in both albums sitting up on the mantle. You know, and it's true. And a lot of us have our go-to outfits. And I know when I buy something, I hate when people say, oh, it's a repeat, because clothing is not disposable.
Right.
And I wear my clothes over and over and over again. Of course, sometimes on camera,
right.
You don't want to do that if you've worn it to a red carpet event and it's being photographed. But then I'll still wear it in my real life. But you don't want to wear the same outfit over and over with the same people. Or if you have like a simple black dress and you've worn it with this group, but it's your go-to dress and you love the way you feel in it, then you want to change up the accessories.
Right.
Change up the jacket, change up your necklace, the shoes. You can go back and look and see how you wore it so you don't repeat it exactly.
Right.
So my beauty tip of the day is wardrobe. Make yourself look beautiful. Make yourself look different. And go to your wardrobe apps. Was that really a beauty tip, or was that more of the hippest, hottest, newest?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay, that wasn't really a beauty tip, technically, but you'll feel beautiful if you look beautiful, and you'll look beautiful because you won't be wearing the same thing over and over the same exact way. So there you go. So go look up those apps. I'll tell you, I always have good intentions to do that at the beginning of the season when I film Real Housewives so that I know what I've been wearing. But, you know, life gets so busy when we're filming. Sometimes I forget to do it. But it's a great thing to do. Try it out. Okay, my hippest, hottest, newest is the InStyler wet-to-dry rotating iron. My daughter Max is very into changing up her hairstyle. I love that. It's just hair. She dyed her hair purple. Months ago. I think it looks beautiful, actually. It's this ombre dark purple. It's beautiful. Anyway, so she showed me this iron, and I thought, well, that's so interesting because instead of blow-drying your hair and then styling it, this styler actually takes your hair from a damp state to a dry, flattened state. So it eliminates a step.
Okay.
So here's the thing. You're supposed to take – it looks like – a brush roller, and then there's a flat round piece on the outside, like a smooth round piece, not flat.
Like part of a curling iron.
Right. It looks like a round curling iron thing, and then there's a flat, not flat, what am I trying to say? It's like a shiny, smooth, curved piece. So you start at the top of your head, and it's got to be damp hair, not wet hair, and you have to do it very, very slowly, and it kind of crackles.
That's scary.
Which can be scary. So I did it. I bought it. I did it. But first of all, it's about $100. You can buy it anywhere. It's, you know, you can get it on Amazon.com using your Heather DuBrow's World banner. You can get it at Sephora, at Ulta, at any of those places. But here's the thing. I have to be 100% honest. It definitely works. Mm-hmm. I thought it did not damage my hair. It did not fry my hair. But it's so slow. You have to do it so slowly that it takes so long to do your whole head. I'm not really sure that it's worth eliminating the blow dry step.
Right. You might as well just blow dry and get it.
Well, I mean, for my hair, I can literally dump my head over and rough dry it and blow it dry in, you know, 5-10 minutes. And then I let it sit and I do my makeup and then I go back and style it.
Right.
I think that that takes less time than going from wet to dry.
Especially if you have to do like little pieces at a time. Oh,
if you've got
awful.
A huge thick head of hair, I'm not sure it's a great thing. But this is one of the hottest things on the market right now. So it works. It's about $100. For me, I say blow dry and then style.
There you go.
So there it is. Anyway, Samara Nahabedian, my stylist, is going to be here. She's a really cool person. She can do just about anything. And she is the brand director for Marc Pomerantz, which is a menswear line. And she designed all of the servers' uniforms at the Montage. And she's got incredible style. We work very well together. I adore her. So stay tuned because coming up is Samara. Are you single? Are you dating on Match? Because if you're single and not dating on Match, then you're really missing out. I know so many people that have met their spouses on Match.com. Look, these days, everything has moved online, including dating. Online dating is the norm, with 1 in 3 relationships now starting online. Everyone wants to find that great connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Plus, we're all so busy these days, so download their mobile app to get your matches sent directly to your phone. Then you can search on the go or from the comfort of your own couch. It's dating your way. dating can be difficult. So if you're not using Match, then you're missing out. Go to match.com/Heather today, where you'll get to try Match for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect. This special offer is only found at match.com/Heather. Go to match.com/Heather. I recently received a box from Plated, and oh my gosh, like it, if you've ever heard of Plated, they send to you all of the ingredients, fresh ingredients that you need to make dinner tonight. It's incredible. They send it to your door. It can sit there all day. It's packed beautifully. There's stuff to keep it cold, and it's got these beautiful cards that tells you exactly how to cook it. Unbelievable. This makes cooking awesome meals at home easy and fun. There is no meal planning. There is no shopping. So make the most out of every moment in the kitchen and at the table with Plated. My kids absolutely flipped over this because they could really become a part of the dinner process. So here's how you get started. Go to plated.com/world right now for a fantastic offer with your first Plated delivery. You can choose from lots of exciting recipes. They change weekly, so there's always new ones, and they're designed to fit a wide range of tastes and preferences. Trust me, I have four kids. I get it. And then next, you'll get this hand-packed insulated box with fresh produce, antibiotic-free meats, I mean, everything you need to cook this delicious dinner delivered straight to your door. And it's all pre-measured. You don't even have to think about anything. And what I love about it is that no food goes to waste. So you just follow the step-by-step recipe cards and then get ready to be impressed and impress everyone in your family or your friends, because I am not a good cook, trust me. And with this Plated, you don't need to be a pro to make amazing dinners. And if you're not home for your delivery, which is basically most of us, right? Don't worry, because everything in your Plated box stays fresh until midnight on the day it arrives. Prepare chef quality dinners right at home in a few simple steps. Hurry over to plated.com/world right now and get a free dinner for two with your first delivery. I mean, is that crazy? You get a free dinner for two with your first Plated box. So go to plated.com/world for terms and details. That's plated.com/world. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
And we're back with Samara Nabedian. I've already introduced you, Samara. Hi.
Hi. So nice to see you, Heather. This is so fun.
I'm so glad you're here. I was just bragging about you, how amazing you are. Impeccable style, brand manager for Mark Pomerantz men's clothing, and brilliant style, and created all of the servers' uniforms for the montage, among all the other things you do. You're incredibly talented. I'm so grateful I get to work with you. So welcome.
Thank you. Actually, yeah, the montage thing was a Mark Pomerantz collaboration. It wasn't all me, but but I did have a part of it.
Says,
thank you.
Says you.
Oh, you're too nice. You're too nice.
So how long have we been working together?
You know what? I was just thinking about that on the way up. It must have been, it was about 6 months after Natalie started working with you. So what?
It's been like almost four years.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I mean, finding a stylist. I want to talk about how do you find a stylist? Because not everyone, obviously, you know, works in television and has a stylist, but there's definitely resources that are available at department stores.
Yes.
So what's a good way? Because when we talk about makeup, we talk about going to makeup counters and talking to makeup artists that work there. But what would you say to someone that says, gosh, I don't, obviously I'm not having a stylist. How do I get help putting outfits together?
Right. For any person that is not a celebrity, I definitely recommend going to any of the major department stores. They usually have a service. Nordstrom has a great service, personal shoppers, as well as Neiman Marcus. And then, you know, there's a lot of great resources now because of social media. You know, you can find a lot of connections and people on Instagram, maybe in your area, that, you know, are starting off as stylists, and maybe they don't charge as much, and they're willing to, you know, take on some new clients and just kind of build a book. So there's a lot of people that are eager to build a clientele book, and that's also a less expensive route to go.
Don't you, I love that. Don't you also think it would be a great gift, is what I'm thinking? Because I know that in a lot of neighborhoods or areas where people live, they have maybe not, they don't call them stylists, but they call them wardrobe consultants mm-hmm. that will come in and help you purge your closet, reorganize, and put some looks together so you know, like have a jumping off point. Wouldn't that be such a great gift to give to someone?
Without it being like, you know,
you look like crap. Like, here.
You need a makeover.
You need some help.
Hey, yeah. Listening, I've been thinking about you. Yeah. You look terrible. Happy birthday. No, but I think we all get sometimes into a bit of a clothing rut. It's funny. I remember when I joined Housewives, a girlfriend of mine, who I'm no longer friendly with, by the way, said to me, "I hope you're not going to wear your black and white Chanel boring every day."
Oh, that's not nice.
And well, first of all, I thought, I'm not.
And by the way, I didn't know black and white and Chanel was all that, you know, it's not really a bad thing.
No, but you can have people. No. And look, it's classic and chic.
Yes,
and
very much.
It's always my go-to. And who am I talking to? Because Samara is all about the white silk blouse and the black bottom. When in doubt, put a white silk blouse on.
Yes.
But it's true. But you are influenced by your friends and, you know, by all kinds of things. So it's good to know your own style. So what do you think is a good idea? I love the idea of going in and talking to people at department stores. Is Pinterest helpful?
I think it's helpful for some people. For me, that's not how I get inspired from outfits. I get inspired I'm more tactile. So I just like to go into the stores and kind of window shop and get ideas. And sometimes you see something on a mannequin and you go, you know what? That's a little crazy how they put it with that skirt. If I just did it with this type of, you know, a jean or a pant, I think I could wear that top. So I think for me, I'm not a big internet surfer, but I think everybody has their own method of how they get inspired. I know a lot of people love Pinterest for, you know, everything. But
so that's just interesting. Yeah. You like to touch things.
Yeah, I like to see it. I like to see the fabric move. And then I'm like, oh, this is really wispy and light. I'm going to do, you know, a heavier fabric on bottom and anchor the outfit. So for me, it's all about balance, proportion, and texture, which I just don't get a feel for when I'm looking at the internet.
It's true. And you can't tell the quality on the internet.
Right.
But for me, I mean, I just don't have time. I mean, I have you and I have the internet.
That's
it.
Me. Yeah.
But some sites do a good job. Like, I think Intermix in particular, the way they photograph their clothing, and not necessarily always the way they put it together, but the way they photograph the separate pieces, I have never been disappointed with the quality.
Yeah. And they they carry great brands. So, you know, they're not throwing in things that are, you know, really inexpensive and poorly made. They're, you know, a contemporary store. So they're going to have higher quality things to begin with. Right. Not like if you're shopping at Zara online, there might be one dress that significantly feels cheaper than the one, you know, next to it online. You just have to see that in person.
Yeah, that's a
that's
good
how
point.
I feel with, you know, when you're trying to find a bargain, I feel like you need to see it in person. When you're shopping a high-end brand or contemporary brands, you pretty much know you're going to get really good quality, you know.
Except for that Helmut Lang t-shirt I bought. I bought this Helmut
Lang. Fell apart?
I bought a Helmut Lang t-shirt. It was a black t-shirt, and it was not in it. It was like,
it was expensive.
It was like $75, all right?
It was
$85?
It was way more.
$100?
Yes.
It was like, let's call it $100. $100 black t-shirt. But I bought it online, so I didn't know what it was made out of.
Right.
All I saw was that it was just picture a plain black t-shirt, and it looked like the sleeves were slightly sliced.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So it had like a, you know, an opening, which is cool. And, you know, people like those openings right now. What do you call that?
A slit?
No, it looks like it's like
a cutout.
Right. Right.
I'm wearing
by
one
the way,
right now.
Oh, that's very cute. Samara has a very cute dress on. Okay, anyway, so it had these little cutouts in the sleeves. So the shirt comes in, $100, black t-shirt. It is a black cotton t-shirt. I mean, it could be Hanes. And it's like someone took a scissor, literally, and cut a slice out of each of the sleeves. They didn't finish it. They didn't sew it. That was it.
Wow.
It was like a Hanes t-shirt that someone took a scissor to. $100.
Did you keep it?
And I kept it. No, I didn't. I was so annoyed. I sent it back. I said, I can make that myself. That is ridiculous. So you can't always tell. But you can't always tell. Okay, so what's coming up for spring? What are the trends for spring? Like, what should we be accumulating now that's going to be hot?
Well, speaking of cutouts and exposing skin, spring has a ton of the bralette tops. Ugh. You know, it's basically a bra. So, Heather, I'm sorry. I'm not putting you in that.
No.
You know, I don't want to dash your fashion dreams for spring, but we're not having you walk around in a bra.
By the way, thank you. Because as you know, I can't bend over because I've had 4 kids and their skin. I don't bend over at the beach. I just stand up straight.
What
if I drop something.
What skin is she talking about, by the way?
There's skin. I go to the gym. It's flat, but there's skin. So if I drop something at the beach, it's just I leave it. I keep going. I don't bend
dropped
over.
Coco. It's fine. She's good.
She'll find another family. She'll be okay.
Just don't bend over.
Don't bend over.
Yeah. So the bralette, you know, any kind of crop top, midi length is still going to be big, you know, below the knee skirts, fitted silhouettes. I've seen a lot of just clean, modern, almost a sporty edge. A lot of cream and white, which I love, but then interjected with a lot of pop colors. I think, you know, Heather, you're going to look amazing in these things. Other than the bra.
Well, but it's a good point. I mean, I think it's an important thing to, well, first of all, I have two feelings on that. If something's trendy, I don't spend a lot of money on it because you know you're not wearing it that long. And number two, you have to be age appropriate, right?
Exactly. I mean, I actually don't love the whole age appropriate type of thing in a way, because I see people that are in their 60s that look fantastic, that can get away with, you know, an amazing style. As far as like
but
not
a crop
wearing,
top?
Not a crop top.
Okay,
but,
that's
but
what
just,
I mean.
Just in general. Like, you know, I don't see why anybody couldn't wear the other trends, you know, a midi skirt. You know, a cool crop jacket. It's still cropped. It's just not showing your skin. And then you wear a nice little tank top tucked into the pencil skirt. So I think, you know, anybody of any age can wear a lot of the trends. It's just your attitude. And, you know, if you feel comfortable, then I think you should wear it as long as, you know, you don't have skin hanging out.
Yeah. Right. So you take the trend and you make it appropriate for you.
And for your body, you know, most importantly, your body, your style, mm-hmm. Yeah, your lifestyle.
You know, I got cut out crazy last year. Like, I mean, I was so over the cutout. I was like, don't show me anything with a cut. Because my problem with the cutout is if you're standing straight.
It looks great.
It looks great. And then as soon as you sit and you turn, all of a sudden there's a thing. There's a skin. There's a something.
Right. Yeah.
So don't you think that when people try stuff on, they should sit and stand and bend over and do all kinds of things?
Absolutely. And I think you're the queen of doing that. Oh, yeah. Heather has like a 5-minute session of different, like, you know, positions, angles. And I love it, though. She's very thorough.
She's
notorious in case you haven't
saying,
noticed this.
Do I have any back fat? And we're like, me and Samara look at each other like, really? Really?
Well, you have to ask. And then you also have to know what you're doing. I mean, for me, it's if we're talking about an appearance somewhere, usually I'll know or I'll ask, am I sitting or am I standing? Is it a sofa or is it a stool with a thing you have to put your foot on? Because if you have to put your foot on – if you're sitting on a high stool on a talk show or something and there's a bar for your foot, sometimes your heel
– slips off.
Yes, and it's uncomfortable. Or, you know, if you know you have to get up – like I have one skirt, that black skirt. I have this one black skirt that I love. I think it's helmet length. But it's got this weird slip built into it. And if you get up and sit down a lot, it starts to bunch up.
Oh, I hate that.
So you can't. So I won't wear that skirt if I have to get up and sit down a lot. That's like you're walking into dinner, you're sitting, and then you're leaving.
You don't have to adjust every 5 minutes.
There can't be any adjusting.
It's a one-sit wonder.
But you do. You have to know. I mean, you have to know. Natalie, I remember you were going to a wedding in Miami.
Right. Yeah.
And I was trying to give you something, a dress to wear, and you were
And I wore it.
You did?
I did. I posted a picture and I wore it. It was awesome.
I don't remember which dress it was now.
It's a two-piece.
Oh, the blue one.
The navy blue.
I love that.
You know
the one that gave you pieces?
Terry told me. I tried it on and he goes, doesn't that make you look hippie? Like you got pieces right there?
Well, I had a lot of pieces, but I loved it. I didn't care.
Well, you know, when someone says that to you, it's the kiss of death.
Right. Yeah. It's done then. You never look at that outfit the same.
No. So I kept trying it on. It was one of those outfits that never left the closet. And I gave it to Natalie. So you wore it to the wedding.
I did. Well, because, you know, Miami was like 100% humidity and it was awful. So I was like, I'm going to just sweat through everything. And then she gave me that and it was awesome. It was perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The fabric
was
great.
I didn't see the picture. I want to see it.
I want to see it too. It's on my Instagram. It was a nice breathable fabric. So you have to know, you know, the climate you're in. And, and where you're going. All right, how about this? What are the 5 pieces of clothing that every woman should have?
Well, I think you already touched one of my favorite
things. White silk blouse.
No, not necessarily not necessarily silk, but, you know, a nicely fitted white shirt, you know, a variety of them, let's just be honest, is amazing because you can wear it with a dressy skirt. You can wear them with jeans. You can wear them underneath, you know, a suit for work, anything professional. So I just think it's such a versatile item, and if it fits you well, and, you know, you can basically wear that with anything.
Where would be a good place to get, like, a clean, crisp white shirt with good quality but not crazy expensive?
I tend to pick them up everywhere, honestly. I go anywhere from Zara to Neiman's. I like
J. Crew has good
shirts. Yeah, J. Crew does have good shirts, and they do carry a lot of sizing. They go all the way down to a 00 even. So they do cover a lot of bases for fit, and they have a few different styles. So, yes, I do love J. Crew. I love the Equipment silk blouses. Those are really nice if you want a silk one, and that can go a little dressier. But, yeah, J. Crew for cotton is great. If you churn and burn through them, go someplace like H&M or Zara for sure.
Okay. All right. So a white blouse.
White blouse. I would say a camel or black coat because that can go anywhere, anytime over, you know, dresses, jeans, everything. Of course, the little black dress. You have to have a killer pair of black heels. Peep toe, closed toe, doesn't really matter. I guess whatever you feel comfortable in. How many was that so far?
That was a lot. But let me ask you this, because sometimes I worry about this. Because, you know, I love black and white also.
Yes.
We're very simpatico in that category. But sometimes I worry. I bought – remember that cute little sleeveless – I have this white sleeveless shirt, and it's PK in the front. It's got a cute little collar. It's like a vest.
Oh, yes.
And I love it. It's so cute. But when I put it on, if I put black pants on with it,
I feel like a
waiter. Yeah.
Well, that's something I think we should try it maybe with, you know, like that cognac leather pant you have or something to soften the look so you're not putting black with it.
Okay. But what about for people that don't have like a ton of colored pants? What could you do with a white blouse? Or I guess I'm asking, what other bottom can we do with a white blouse so you don't feel like you look like a server when you go out?
I mean, I don't necessarily recommend even wearing a black pant all the time with a white blouse, but I think anything other than black, so charcoal, navy.
Charcoal is such a good color.
Yeah, charcoal is great. I mean, you can wear a charcoal skirt, charcoal pant, if you don't have a lot of color. Or navy.
So charcoal is a good second color pant to have.
Yes.
Because it's softer than black, and also it looks so nice with pink.
And
looks
cream.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah. I'll have to keep my eye out for you.
I was going
to
say, now she's going to want.
Yeah. I see her wheels turning.
I know, so did I. I was waiting for that. Natalie, will you go and get me the charcoal?
So, and then here's the other question. What about colored purses and shoes? Because, all right, I am notorious for this. I love colored purses, and then I buy them.
And they sit.
They sit on my shelf. I ordered a mint bag, mint colored bag with silver heart, and I love it. It's so beautiful. But I'm, once again, scared. I am not confident with colored shoes and colored bags. I sometimes I'll get brave and just throw it on, and then other times I'm like pulling out a black bag.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, colored bags.
Is there a rule for colored bags?
You know, I don't think there really is. I think sometimes it's kind of cool to do kind of, you know, the color blocking where you wear a complementary contrasting color with whatever bag you're wearing.
For example,
like, I know we've put you in something like a navy dress with a bright red bag, you know. So I think when you kind of complement the color, instead of just always wearing all black and a bright color, you know, it softens the impact. Or you just do it monochromatic. So, and like a nude shoe, though. You wouldn't go red shoe, red dress, red bag.
Okay, let's just repeat that. We don't match our bag at our shoes.
Well, there's no real rule. Sometimes it's okay. I mean, if you're wearing a little gold clutch and gold shoes with a black dress, that's fine.
Yeah, I like that. But would you typically wear red shoes and a red bag?
I personally wouldn't always, but I've seen it look good. So I think it just very
much
depends.
So there are no rules.
There's, you know, I don't live by rules.
Do you remember that little pink dress that you wore? It's kind of like it was a little bit sheer.
James?
Yeah, it was like that little like kind of sheer. I think you wore it
for Easter.
Yes, and then you wore it with the blue. Remember?
Oh no, not that. You're talking
Victoria
about
Beckham.
Yeah, I have a Victoria Beckham dress that it looks
blush.
Like a blouse and a skirt, but
that
it's actually
one.
A one piece.
Right.
I wore it on the show last year,
yeah.
And it's like a blush nude
that one,
lace
yep.
top, and the skirt is made out of like a.
It's like a heavy silk.
Yeah, it's like a thick, almost like a brocade.
Right.
It's really beautiful, beautiful dress. And Samara paired it with – the first time I wore it personally, I wore it with this really beautiful Valentino bag and nude – that Valentino nude
skin.
That – yeah, uh-huh. The snake skin. The Valentino nude shoes, which mm-hmm. are on the pinkier side. So I kept it really monochromatic. And then Samara came in and she said, well, I think you should wear it with these blue – rock studs.
They're
that have,
bright blue.
They're
electric
blue rock studs, which have a nude
strap
on them, mm-hmm. and then the matching electric blue bag.
Right.
And I said, "Are you crazy?" And she said, "Nope, I love it. It's beautiful." And honestly, have never gotten so many compliments, and wore it several times after that to different
yeah.
events. I loved it.
I actually got text messages from people that saw you around Orange County that day. They were like, I saw your client Heather at a restaurant and I need to ask you, what was her outfit? What was that dress? Was it a dress? Was it a skirt and top? What were those shoes? What was that bag? I was like getting barraged by people that just saw you out on the street. So that was a definite hit.
Isn't that
but yeah,
so
but see,
funny?
That's a sometimes, you know, you can't say never because sometimes it works.
Right. And I think it's good to take risks like that. That's
yeah.
why, I mean, that's one of the best things about having you. I mean, you have beautiful taste, but I love working together because you will pull me out of my box and show me something that I normally wouldn't wear.
True. And I actually, to the same point though, I find it so fun when you surprise me where I'm like, wow, you ordered that? Yes. You know, I'm like, wow, okay, let's do this.
So what I do with Samara, and I think this is something you could actually do at a department store if you wanted to, is I only really shop online basically because
yeah.
I just don't have the time or the inclination, and I'll buy a bunch of stuff without really thinking about how I'm going to use it or wear it. And then Samara will come over and I go, what do I do with this? I love
yes.
this. What do
yeah.
you
help.
So help. So I think that if you have something in your closet at home that you love, but you really don't know what to do with, or like I'm saying, a pair of colored shoes, you can take those into Bloomingdale's or Nordstrom and get, you don't pay for those personal shoppers.
No.
They're complimentary.
Exactly.
And ask them, what can I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And they will help you.
Yeah, they'll go. And you know, the best thing to do is to call ahead and have them prepare items for you. So
oh.
that's even better. So they know you're coming. You tell them, I'm bringing in this great pair of, you know, electric blue shoes. And I want a few dress options to wear with it. And maybe a few pant options. And then they'll get it all ready.
And then you give them your sizes
yeah.
and your coloring.
Yeah, you give them all the information. And it's part of the service that they'll, you know, get it together for you. So it expedites the whole process. And the whole point is to make it seamless and easy. I mean, you know, when you work with an expert, you should feel you're working with an expert, and it should take, you know, the struggle out of it for the client.
I love that. All right, we're going to take a short break. You're going to stay because when we come back, I want to talk about how we've come up with my Real Housewives of Orange County looks for each season. And not that I can confirm or deny anything, but if there were a season 11 and if I were to be on that, what might we be thinking for next season?
Excellent.
So stay tuned. Look, there's an old way to buy a car and a new way to buy a car. Technology just continues to evolve, and everything evolves, really. I mean, it used to take, what, 2 hours to make a big potato, and now you can throw it in a microwave for 2 minutes? So as technology and innovation advances, it would make sense that there's a new and better way to buy a car. Well, finally there is, and it's called TrueCar. And what makes TrueCar truly special and unique is their certified dealer network. TrueCar is partnered with over 10,000 TrueCar certified dealers that also believe in a new way to buy a car. With TrueCar, you can get guaranteed savings and TrueCar certified dealers will honor the savings. It's that simple. You can now go online to find the fair price on a new car via TrueCar. Now with TrueCar, you could see what others in your area have paid for the same car you're looking for, which helps you determine a fair price. Then you can get a guaranteed savings certificate from a TrueCar certified dealer. Your savings will be honored by a TrueCar certified dealer without the need to negotiate. TrueCar users save an average, you ready for this, of $3,221 off MSRP. No hassles, no headaches. This is how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. And there are over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer contact. Visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little dog. Doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
Okay, we are back with Samara Nahabedian, my fabulous stylist.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, honey. Okay, so I want to talk about The Real Housewives of Orange County. So every year, we've done things a little bit differently every year.
Indeed, yes. We have definitely evolved.
But even the way we do it, I remember one, well, the first year I was on the show, I didn't have you.
Right.
Till like halfway through the year.
Right.
So we've been working together a long time.
Yeah, it's been like almost 4 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I had not lost the weight yet from having Coco. She was only like, most of it, but she was like 8 months old. I really wasn't that motivated to be my normal size. So I was probably still 6-7 pounds up. And I hadn't bought clothes in so long. I had nothing.
Yeah, I remember that.
She had nothing.
I had nothing.
Yeah,
so basically, when I joined the show, I was, this is before I had Samara, but I was going shopping every 2 days to buy some clothes because they would say, oh, we have these events. We have to go to the, I didn't have anything.
Right.
That's crazy.
Not even jeans, nothing. And your body changes so much with each kid. That was a big deal. But I do remember 1 year we front loaded.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Do you remember?
We had rolling racks in your closet, and we had outfits put together.
We had, we bought like 20, 30 tops and dresses, and like, we'll figure it out later. Let's just, it's on this rack.
But you had no clothes, that's why.
But then I remember Tamara used to tell me, towards the end of the season each year, she always goes, ugh, I'm almost out of clothes.
Like, this is getting expensive to film this show.
It is. Actually, right. That was one of the reasons I'm glad that last year they ended up using...
the intro,
our
right?
Our intro. Because I was glad because I didn't buy a new dress.
Right.
I ended up using a dress I already had.
And the show used the black one again.
And then the show used the black one again. Anyway, so I remember we front-loaded 1 year. And then 1 year I said to you, I want brooches.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. The brooch year. The infamous brooch year. Heather's like, forget clothes. I just want brooches. And I want, like, penny loafers and, like, and tights.
Yes. I did. I had this image where I thought, you know what I want to look like? I want, like, a cluster of brooches on my shoulder. And I want tights. And I want chunky loafers. And meanwhile, and we couldn't find the loafers. And then they came out, like, a year later.
A year later. You're ahead of the time.
I was.
You know what I did love from the whole brooch episode that you went through? It was when we put them on the beanie. When you went to the snow. Where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to Whistler for like Whistler, 3 hours.
And we put Chanel brooches on your little beanie. It was so cute.
Oh my God, I loved it. It was like a little Chanel cabbie hat.
Yes.
Terry made fun of me so badly. I was on my way to Whistler, and I had my cabbie hat, and you had put the Chanel brooch,
right,
a couple of them, I think, on the beanie, so there were more C's there. And then I was wearing my Chanel coat and my Chanel boots and my bag. I'm holding it. Terry, I sent a picture to Terry, like, bye, honey, I'm off to the snow. And he wrote back, did you miss a spot?
And yeah.
I go, what are you talking about? He's like, with a C?
Oh, God.
That was so funny. But I have to say, and I know you could back me up with this, but I have a lot of inexpensive pieces.
Oh, I know. That's what I love. It's so fun to work with you because I've always been the type of person that I just have eclectic style. And I don't like when people, you know, force themselves to have one certain look, one certain designer. Mm-hmm. It's not creative. You know, sometimes you see something that's really neat in a, you know, lower end store and, you know, the price is great and you know you're going to wear it one time. So why not? You know, if it looks good, the quality's decent, then why not mix it with your Valentino? Mix it with your Chanel.
Absolutely.
You know, they play nice together. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost a lot to have great style.
Right.
And to me, it's like when someone goes into a furniture showroom and buys the room.
Right. It's so uncreative.
Anyone can buy the room. You want it to feel collected. You want it to be. So to me, anyone can walk into Valentino or Gucci and say, I'll take that head to toe. Yeah, okay, well, that was on the runway. Someone spent a long time designing that. I get that. But when you want to make it you, mm-hmm. it's how do you do that?
Exactly. And, you know, buying all designer clothing doesn't even mean you're going to look good if you don't have an eye to put it together or you don't really realize your fit. I think that's, you know, a huge cornerstone of looking put together well is when clothes fit you right. They can be, you know, a $30 dress and you might look like $1 million because it fits you great and it flatters you.
Absolutely. You know what I also think is cool is the high-end designers that are designing for places like Target and
Kohl's. H&M.
And yeah. H&M. Mm-hmm. I've bought a ton of stuff. I remember even when Peter Pilotti did his line for, I think it was Target, right?
Yeah.
I was hosting Good Day LA at the time, and they did a whole fashion show of his line for Target. And some – I mean, his stuff is very outrageous anyway.
Yeah,
so
funky.
It takes a – it's really funky. It's pretty out there, very colorful. So it takes a certain personality for that anyway. But I just thought it was actually very cool, very well made. Someone else just did a line, the real preppy one, Lily Pulitzer.
Oh, yeah.
But again, like my – cousin's wife loves Lily Pulitzer. She dresses her daughter that way. It's really beautiful, preppy, clean. Mm-hmm. And I love that they're designing for Target.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting now, you know, how open the world of fashion is now with technology and, you know, just the age we live in. You know, high-end designers used to be completely inaccessible to anybody else that wasn't able to attend a fashion show or, you know, you wouldn't even see a fashion show on style.com unless you were there.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting how accessible the world of fashion is now to people in our age. And, you know, it's really nice to be able to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. You know, the only thing for me that I don't like about what's going on in the stores now is that so many boutiques are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Boutiques are dead. And the truth is that even if there is a boutique, they carry the same stuff
online
as everyone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that now I do find it interesting that Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's are doing collections and pieces from designers that are they call exclusively theirs, that they're just designing for that particular mm-hmm. store, which I think is good because if everyone has everything, mm-hmm. then, you know, how are we all getting different looks? And right. I mean, Vicky Gunvalson and I showed up to the upfronts last year in the same dress.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that.
Which I thought was sort of hilarious, by
yes.
the way. And they were styled completely differently, and I didn't even notice. of course, Tamara was the one that brought it up. But I thought it actually looked really nice on both of us. But my point is, there's only so many dresses. There's only
right.
so many places to go. So how do you make sure your look is unique?
I mean, that comes down to personal style and, you know, above all, accessories are what really make an outfit unique. You know, the personality that accessories bring to an outfit are the main elements of what makes it stylish because you can just buy a plain, you know, blouse and a plain pant, and if you don't accessorize it, it just looks, you know, it's not memorable. But when you start to put accessories, you put a cool bag, an interesting earring – you know, then it makes it your own look. So I think, you know, that's really kind of like how you and Vicky showed up wearing the same dress. You didn't even realize it was the same dress for a little bit because you were wearing it differently.
It looked totally different to me. So what are we going to do this year? If there's another season,
if
we're going to be on it.
Yeah.
it's funny because we usually have like a pre-season game plan. I say, I want my brooches. I say, I want this. I think last season I said I wanted to look edgier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think we did. I think we did edgier.
Yeah. I think we did edgier. Yes.
And definitely. I was so pleased because I think, you know, we've been slowly making you go edgier.
Yeah, because I'm not
for a
edgy.
Long time.
Yeah, no, because I'm not edgy.
Yeah, you're more classic.
Yeah, I prefer a more classic, but I like edgy things. And then that's why, and what I love about you and your style and how you work with me, and this is why I think a lot of people would benefit from having some kind of wardrobe help, even if they've got great style, because someone else can show you something mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have thought of. Or, you know, for me, I want to be edgy, but I want it to be age appropriate.
Exactly.
If I wear a cutout, it's a small cutout on the shoulder. I don't want to. Oh, here's a perfect example. I lit the tree at the Abbey in West Hollywood. And I was telling Samara, you know, I want something sparkly.
Yeah.
I don't want like a showgirl outfit, but no. I want something
festive
and sparkly. And she brought me all these dresses and we started trying them on. And what I ended up wearing, and you could see the picture on my Instagram account, was, I think it was Allison Olivia?
It was, yeah.
It was a black sequin fitted pencil skirt to the knee mm-hmm. with a 3/4 sleeve top. And it was a midriff top, but it only showed...
About an inch and a half.
Like an inch and a half. And it was above the belly button. It was like just mm-hmm. enough. It didn't look like I was wearing a crop top. It just looked like a
yeah.
classic look. And to me, that was the perfect way to take what I said, which is I want to look modern and sparkly and edgy.
Yeah.
But not like I'm 22 or trying
right,
to be.
Right, or going to Vegas like a 22-year-old wearing a sparkly short dress. And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what's nice is that I can absolutely repurpose that skirt.
Absolutely. In the fall, you could even throw a little black turtleneck with it, a sweater, and tights and boots. You know, there's just so many ways you can wear classic things. So
I'm going to wear that this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
In Minnesota.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I know. It's going to be below zero. So
okay, so what am I going to look like this year?
If there's a this year, I mean, I don't want to dish everything. We want to, you know, give some people, you know,
something
some
to look
element
forward.
Of surprise.
Okay,
but
so it's not going to be brochey. It's not going to be edgy.
It's probably still going to be edgy. I think we're going to try to do a little less black and a little more punchy colors because Heather
just looks. Good luck with that.
Oh, yeah. I said try. Yeah. I said try. I didn't say we were, you know, going to do it 100%. But, you know, Heather looks great in colors, so I love seeing her in colors. Let's just pray the designers cooperate this year and put some out.
I know, because I'm seeing a lot of nude colors.
Yeah, nude and cream and light gray, you know, and I love all those too. But, on TV, you want to have something a little punchier.
Nude is tricky too, because mm-hmm. the nude could go different. You have to make sure it's not too yellow, it's not too green.
Yeah. You don't want to look like a corpse.
Okay, before we wrap up here, I just want to know, tell everyone how to purge your closet. How do you know when it's the right time to get rid of something?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll tell you something kind of disgusting. So my closet purges itself because I live so close to the water that if I don't touch something in maybe like 6 months to a year, it'll literally like start to get mildew on it.
Oh,
so
no.
I have to, I literally have to throw my clothes out if I don't wear them. But, you know, in a nice way, it's like, hey, you know what? I didn't wear it. Toss it out. So,
okay, if your clothes are not disintegrating.
Yeah, if they're not disintegrating in your closet, I would definitely go through and, you know, pull things out that have major sentimental value because some people are very sentimental with their clothes. I would save those items, you know, store them properly, even pay to have like a lot of dry cleaners will launder and store things for you, kind of much like a wedding dress. I know they do that for some people. But if there's something very sentimental, maybe you've had it for 30 years, you know, I would go ahead, go through that first, pull out all those things. And then everything else you haven't worn, I would say, in about a year and a half, you know, I think it would be a good time to donate it if it's gently worn or, you know, just toss it if it's seen better days. And, you know, it really makes getting dressed so much easier. When you have less in your face that you have to sort through and just look at in the morning when you're getting ready, or trying to get out the door on the weekend, you know, it just makes the whole process so much easier when you have less to look at and pick through.
I think that's a great idea. And I also want to point out that we talked about this a little bit earlier, that when I pack to go somewhere, that we lay out all the outfits and we take mm-hmm. pictures of them with the shoes and the bag and the accessories and everything all together. Mm-hmm. So that way you – because I used to be the queen of overpacking and bringing just-in-case clothes.
Yeah.
And then you end up with all this stuff and you're confused and you get there and you forget what you brought. And this way you have these pictures and you just scroll through. And even if you change it up a little bit, you know you have enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's what people do with their closet. They have, oh, but, you know, just in case I won't right. donate it. Just in case I want to keep it. But at the end of the day, nobody really wears it. And then it just takes up room and it makes your life harder when you want to get dressed.
I made a vintage box for my girls mm-hmm. that's in one of my bins that we always talk mm-hmm. about in the garage. I have a vintage box. So if it's a good piece and it's in good condition, I put it in the box so that when they're in high school, they won't say, why didn't you save anything for me?
I wish my mother had done the same thing.
See, I know. That's why yeah. I'm trying to be proactive.
That's awesome.
Samara, I adore you.
I adore you, and I adore dressing you.
Thank you. You are the best. I love you. Thank you for being here so much. Will you come back again?
Of course I will, anytime.
Okay, good. Maybe we can do a pre-summer something.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to see any more of your outfits, follow my Instagram. It's @Samara_stylist.
@Samara_stylist. She is honestly the best. Follow her on Instagram. She is incredible. Thank you, love.
Thank you.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
I love Samara. Is she not the best?
I feel like she's like a part of the family.
She is a part of the family.
Yeah, she's so good.
I mean, but honestly, you and Samara have seen me naked this year more than Terry.
Shut up.
It's true. And I mean, no. I don't mean this like in the last 2 weeks. I mean, like in this last 12 months. It's true.
So
my
funny.
Gosh.
Oh, God.
That's okay. Love.
That is love.
Well, what are you going to do? You got to try stuff on. But she makes it very easy. I like her tips about going into the department stores and
yeah, me too.
Talking to people. It's good because she really does get me outside of my comfort zone. Yeah. But you know what? You also have to be able to say no. Now that she's gone, I can't say in front of her. Because sometimes Samara will show me something and I don't feel comfortable in it or I don't feel comfortable sitting in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to listen. And trust someone, but then you also have to listen to your own instinct too.
Absolutely.
But she's the best.
She really is.
Okay, so what do we have for Dear Heather?
Okay, Dear Heather, when is short too short? What hemline at what age?
I like that question. Tamara made fun of me last season on the show as a joke. She was saying my hemlines were too short. I think this is one of those dressing age appropriately questions, because obviously if you're younger, you can wear a slightly shorter hemline. But I do believe that some of the hemlines I see these days are so incredibly short that I don't think it's appropriate at any age. There's girls that are my daughter's age that are 12 that are wearing these rompers mm-hmm. that have the bottoms of them look like those old-fashioned gym shorts that come up on the side. And I just think that they're too revealing. I feel like if the world is seeing something that your gynecologist should only see, it's too short.
It's hilarious. I agree.
I mean, with my girls, I have them wear these things called monkey bar buddies. Mm-hmm. And they're these little shorts that they put under their dresses. And they come in all different colors so that they blend so that you don't see their underwear if they're playing or
right.
the skirt swirls up. So it's a little bit of a modesty thing, which I like. But I do believe, you know, that there is a time where it's too short. Right now, there's a lot of actresses, young actresses, that are wearing shirts as dresses.
I know.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oversized shirts, no leggings, and heels.
Right. Or like a boot or something. Yeah.
You know, I guess in an editorial way, it's interesting if it was in a photo, but I think as a practical way of walking around, I don't think it's appropriate.
I don't know. In a way, I feel like it's not what you wear, it's how you wear it. So if you can pull it off and it doesn't look like an oversized shirt, then why not?
I guess it also depends on where you are. I mean, look, Tina yeah. Turner can be on stage and rock the shortest, fringiest, sparkliest dress, and she looks insane. She's got those legs, and she's incredible. But that's on stage, and she's Tina Turner.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if so-and-so is wearing the shortest, fringiest, sparkliest outfit to the company Christmas party, I don't think it's appropriate.
I agree. Okay, so the next question is, at 45 years old, I feel like a tart in 5-inch stilettos or wedges, but like an old lady in kitten heels. What is the right height for my age?
Again, I do think that this is more event specific. To me, you know, there are people that can wear kitten heels to a black tie event. There are people that wear very high heels to a lunch meeting. It's really what you're comfortable walking in, first of all, because if you don't walk well in high heels, you really just shouldn't wear them because it looks terrible at any height.
Right.
I don't have a problem personally at any age with very high heels as long as you can walk in them. I mean, we're not talking about the ones that you get at Frederick's of Hollywood that have, right, you know, huge platforms and 9-inch heels. That's more of a costumey thing. But if you're talking about stilettos that we find in regular department stores, I think if you can walk in them and your hemline is appropriate, I don't think it matters what age you are.
Good. Well, that's all the other questions
we
have.
Yeah, I say just work it. Well, that was a really fun show. I'm glad you guys all got to meet Samara. She's terrific. And if there is a next season, you'll see what we end up wearing.
Well, that'd be exciting.
Yeah, if.
Right, if.
Just saying. You never know. Thank you all so much for being with us this weekend. I have to tell you, I love doing this show. I didn't know I was going to love doing it so much, but I love doing it. I love getting your feedback, your comments. Please go on iTunes or to your podcast app and leave me a review, hopefully a 5-star review. But leave me a review and tell me what you think and what you want to hear more of. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Heather Dubrow. Go to my website, heatherdubrow.com, to see what we have coming up soon. And thanks so much for being with us. It's really, really fun. So thanks, and till next time.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose from the best options for you fast. It's one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the new Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.